Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City dominate Real Madrid in the second leg of the semi-final at the Etihad to advance to the Champions League final. Is this finally the year for Pep and City? Inter eliminate crosstown rivals AC Milan to reach the final for the first time since 2010. Ivan Toney handed an 8-man suspension by the FA over betting breaches. And Luton Town and Coventry City are heading to the Championship Player Final to reach that final, or gain that final spot to the Premier League. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. All right, Robbie Earle. Let's get cracking, my friend. What a game. Manchester City 4, Real Madrid 0. They've reached the Champions League final. I've been saying it for quite a few weeks that this is their season. Yeah. Of course, one game to go yet. And we looked at the Inter game as well. So we can chat about that afterwards. But just off the top, Rob, I'm sat there watching this at halftime. I'm like, I don't know whether I've seen Man City play as good as that. It feels like this is a culmination of Pep's kind of learnings, experiences, time at Man City, finding the right balance, which is the key thing for me in terms of defenders and insurance when it breaks down. Not that it did in the first half particularly, but it feels like this is the best version of City, Rob, we've seen for many, many seasons.
Yeah, I totally have to agree. I think if you think, Rob, of the first 45 minutes, that's as good as I've seen Manchester City play in Europe ever. Considering the stage of the competition, considering the opposition, considering the quality individuals who can have moments to change a game, it was an absolute clinic, to be honest, against a team that we all know were dangerous, we all know can sit without the ball at times and still hit you in moments. But this was City at their best, Rob. This was City posing all kinds of problems. This was City where John Stones, mate, at times ends up in the number number 10. Yeah. I mean, incredible where he's come from, a centre-back come full-back who now ends up in midfield and half the time, sometimes out on the left-hand side. It's the resurgence, Rob, of some players who maybe thought maybe their time at Manchester City was coming to an end. Gundogan, we've seen what he's done in the league recently. Bernardo Silva was his night tonight.
Yeah.
A combination of players, Rob, who, and I'm going to give Jack Grealish a little mention.
Yeah.
Jackie Grealish, my
what
friend.
What a game he had.
What an important player. There was a great shot of Pep. I don't know if you saw that at the sideline, and he was like blowing kisses out. It was for Jack just to control the ball and keeping the tempo and holding his shape and just understanding his role in the team, all the things that people have questioned.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Kyle Walker a little shout-out, Musty, for, you know, a few months ago, maybe about a month or so ago, Pep came out and said, Kyle Walker can't play in that inverted role. He's not that football IQ. And I heard Kyle Walker before the game. He did a press interview yesterday. Mm. He said it hurt him, actually. And he said, I'm going to prove him wrong and I'm going to show that I'm one of the best defenders in world football.
Yeah.
And although Vinicius didn't have too much possession and they weren't a force, there was two or three times Robbie went one-on-one for pace and Walker went, okay, put on the afterburners. So I just thought, there were some great individuals. He was a great collective. There was a great feel. And there was a good shot of Pep for me early in the game, Rob, where he was standing at the side of the pitch and I almost felt he was relaxed. There was a confidence and relax where at this time, I think we've always said, haven't we, the stick that speaks Pep is, he overthinks these times and so he'll do something. Same team has played last time out.
Nothing different. Yeah.
Nothing different. Brilliant performance. Top draw. That's all I got to say, really.
Yeah, I just thought it was ultimate Pep football, really, Robin. I think you can go around every player. You know, maybe every player. Maybe Erling Haaland would have had a couple of those chances back again. He had two or three chances to score, even though he was, you know, he didn't often get that final ball.
Courtois came up with a couple of great saves, actually.
Great saves. Maybe other than him, I just thought everybody was so, so good. And it's funny you mentioned Jack Grealish, because I was going to mention him as well. And a player that sometimes I think, you know, he's there on that left-hand side. He often doesn't dribble by the last guy. He comes inside and backwards a lot. I just think he's playing a little bit freer, Rob. He's a little bit freer. How many times do you see him today? He received the ball, cover holds his fullback, and come back inside and play backwards. Not many times. No. I thought he took the fullback on more. He got into better spots where he's driving inside, so he's not playing, not a negative ball, but a safe pass. I just think, I looked at him and I thought at the end, I thought, wow, what player's come on? You know, he's come on a long way since going to that club and feeling a little bit awkward and taking time to settle. He looks super comfortable, like he was back at Aston Villa, playing his own way. Obviously, there's restrictions on what he can do in the team with Pep, but I feel like now that he's all over them and it's easy. I mean, Bernardo Silva is a world-class midfield player. There's no question. At that highest level, Rob, he can do his thing so comfortably at that level. That's the highest level, and yet you still see his incredible technique and his dribbling and his never giving the ball away and his link and his vision. And I mean, he's a little dude. He's a little guy. But gave Camavinga a torrid time. Yeah. Camavinga's a central midfield player, playing left back. And he's a great player. So great players can play in most spots. But the highest level, I just thought we got caught out positionally a few times where Bernardo Silva's got in a couple of times. Yeah. First one for the first goal, of course. De Bruyne's ball for the first goal is so... Can you imagine if you're marking... If you're playing against City there, you're probably thinking De Bruyne is going to swing it into the back post.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, he sees something and slaps it into the feet of Bernardo Silva, who then drags it into the corner. I got to say, mate, I haven't sat downstairs watching a game and enjoyed a game of football like that for a long time. Right. I think I texted you guys saying, this is awesome. This is what I would say the definition of awesome is. It's awe-inspiring, some of the football. That Man City managed to play. And I think Pep, he got dressed up a little bit. You know, the big games, Rob, he puts his little jacket on and
he goes to the wardrobe.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that is a bigger statement performance in any competition we've seen this season, Rob, given who they're playing against and given, everybody thought it was going to be tight. I thought it was going to be tight. I thought it was going to be a very similar game, but they got the breakthrough goal. The header from Bernardo Silva goes just over the top of that last defender. And from then on, they're in total control of the game. It was just a first class. I mean, it's good atmosphere in there.
Right,
fans were loving it. I tell you, I mean, second half was a little different, but I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant game.
It was. And there was a couple of things. So one of the things that stands out, and you talk about the awesomeness and the football and the control, and it was even the first goal, I noticed John Stones makes a run from midfield beyond, almost like into a right wing position. He then sets the ball back, sets it to De Bruyne. De Bruyne plays in, Bernardo Silva in a rotation, and Bernardo Silva's in. And Camavinga, who's a young central midfield player playing at left back, didn't really know where he was, didn't see the run, and Bernardo Silva's in. But one of the things that stood out to me today, Rob, more so in the first 45 minutes, and then I saw it in the last 10 minutes, which was interesting, I'll come to that, is the hunger that City have when they lose the ball. It's incredible for a team who's won that much, who plays that well, who've got so many big-time players.
But they want this, Rob. This is the big one they want, don't they?
Yeah, but they were doing it on Saturday, mate, against Everton, I've got to be honest. I was watching that game. They were hungry then, and that's almost my point. It doesn't matter in the Champions League semi-final and the one they won. You kind of go, okay. But how about an off day now and then when I'm at Everton away and it ain't going well? They do it then. And it's like it's a given that they do it. And then I'll tell you what happened in the last 10 minutes when I thought when Foden came on and Alvarez came on, I thought there was another... I thought Phil Foden must have ran further in than Vinicius Jr. in the 10 minutes he was on, mate. He chased and harried everything. Him and Alvarez between them end up scoring a beautiful fourth goal.
For the goal,
And that's another, like, so the ones that come in, Rob, keep it going or raise it up again. That's what he's got here. That's a bit different, a bit special. The hunger to that you see, whether they're playing Bournemouth in the Premier League or Real Madrid in the Champions League, it's the same effort that goes into it.
And you take that attitude and effort and quality of players. Mm. And for me, I still think a lot of this goes back to the tactical acumen of Pep Guardiola. This system that he's grooved through this season, Rob, with Stones coming to midfield. So you've still got three at the back defensively, which is as good as any. Even back when we played, Rob, it always used to be the fullback, go forward, the other fullback tuck around, always want three at the back. They have three at the back ticked off. Mm. They've got two holding midfield players, double pivot, or whatever fancy name you want to have, because Stones plays alongside Rodri. That's physicality in there. And then they've got, forward players inside left, inside right, five of them in total. Yeah. They hit you from all angles, from wide attacking spots to inside attacking spots. That's how Pep talks about it. You attack inside and you attack outside. And sometimes games are there to do it outside, sometimes inside. They threaten every part of you. Mm. And I just thought that Real Madrid, they couldn't handle midfield. No. They never got... You've got to have a special plan, I think, to play City with this tactical setup, because they're too deep holding the midfield players. When everybody goes back, which they kind of did, they just control it. They will control it and they pin you in. And it was like the old straitjacket. Real Madrid with the straitjacket, where they get the ball. They're blanketed by City players that were fired up for the game. It was just very impressive.
Funny though, Rob, even at 2-0, and I think I checked on our little WhatsApp group, I just said, need the goals for the dominance, because you just felt with Real Madrid though, you're still waiting for it turns over, they get one, we know what can happen and we know how effect that might have. It didn't happen today. The game second half got a little bit stretched and went a bit end to end, and City were looking for counter attacks and Madrid having a little bit more of a go, but nothing that threatening, I didn't feel. But obviously then the third goal from the set piece pretty much kills it, and Alvarez puts the finishing touches. So it in the end, it didn't matter. But there was still a spell where I'm still thinking, okay, Madrid are down. They're down two. They're sitting deep. They've not had much ball. But if they get one, what could happen. And that was my concern as I'm watching the game. Put this to bed down. Make sure. Don't give them any chances. And in the end, they did.
Just slightly back onto Real Madrid a little bit, Rob, because there was a change defensively. Militao was suspended for the first leg. I thought Antonio Rudiger was so good in the first leg. He was dropped to the bench. Big call. Yeah. That's a big call by Carlo Ancelotti. Militao, who's a brilliant, brilliant defender, maybe the best defender around right now. I kind of get that he comes back in. But late in the game, Rob, Real Madrid switched to Alaba to left fullback.
Yeah.
And Rudiger comes in to play alongside Militao.
Back in the middle of the park.
Yeah, but that's his call. And who are we to kind of question it? I guess you lose 4-0 badly. Maybe some of the fans will say, well, why didn't you play Rudiger as well? Whether that would have stopped anything of the City football, I don't know. Do you think, like, we know that some of the star players of Real Madrid, Robert, are getting on a little bit?
Yeah.
Is there going to be changes? The manager himself, I think, is rumoured to possibly leave.
Yeah, he's talk, isn't there? Although I heard, with getting to the semi-final and what they've done, his standing would probably keep him in the job if he wanted it. But there's talk about a Brazil national job, isn't there, that seems to be doing the rounds out there. I wrote something after the first 45 minutes, actually, and it was more based on the midfield players who actually came off in the second half, Modric and Cruz. They looked aged in the first 45 minutes. It's like they couldn't stop what was coming. And it wasn't just necessarily them, and it wasn't necessarily an individual thing, but just you saw the age of players who couldn't live with the movement, the speed, and the passing and clinical play that City had. And that is the question now, whether these are going to be a little bit of a turnaround. We know Jude Bellingham's already earmarked to go to the football club. He's talk of one or two others moving in. So whether it is this group, and what a group it's been. Was it five of the last eight Champions League, mate? They've won. Is it just coming to a cycle, and is there going to be some new blood in? And then whether Ancelotti is the man, or is there somebody else out there who's on the radar?
You're talking about Zidane again. Did I hear that? Yeah. Talking about Zidane possibly, but I think there will be changes, Rob. It's just a Copa del Rey title for them this season in terms of silverware for them, which isn't good enough. And I'm not sure that they've really gone crazy guns in the transfer market for a few seasons, Rob. So they might be
maybe a time.
Maybe they're gonna, Alphonso Davies they're talking about, Kylian Mbappe they're talking about. I'm sure they got their eye on any clause that's in the contract of Erling Haaland as well. But no, it's you know, I think, you know, we'll see.
Ilkay Gundogan, my friend, hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, I know.
Criminal, isn't it? If he walks out of the football club to go to, I know they're talking Barca, or I'm sure Real Madrid will be looking and thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
he could play any team. He's any team, isn't it? Same with Bernardo Silva. They can make any team better. One player, Rob. I just want to quickly, Thibaut Courtois, the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
I mean, is he the world's best at the moment? You know, of all types of saves.
It's almost like he had a one man drive to make sure that Erling Haaland wasn't going to score today because he caught a couple of brilliant saves. And I think he'd be the first to say he feels he's not appreciated as well on that world stage. And maybe we look at Ederson and Alisson that we see every week and keepers like that. But every time I see him, Rob, he looks in good shape.
Yeah, he's so like hard to beat.
He's out for Real Madrid. He's been a big player for them. It was let down a little bit defensively in front of him today. I didn't think the back four played, you know, particularly well. And he came up with three or four brilliant saves that could have been a lot worse. So yeah, it's a good shout, really.
Yeah, yeah. The football was stunning from Man City. You can see any team having a job trying to stop that movement and the attacks that come at you from all angles. They're through to the final, Rob. They're going to play Inter Milan. Let's talk about the Milan derby now. Then we'll kind of get
just
a sense.
Quickly on that one, Rob. I just wanted to, on closing, did you see the Pep take everybody into the circle at the end of the game? All the staff, all the players, all the backroom staff. There was probably 60, 70 people went out. It was interesting. And there were shots and Pep was hugging and he was getting all the staff involved and the backup staff and the coaching staff and the analysts and people. There were 60, 70 people and he definitely got something going with the crowd. And I don't know, it feels different this time.
Yeah.
It feels like he there's a confidence about them and there's an appreciation and he wanted to appreciate the fans and I think he wanted the fans to appreciate what this group have done to get to this stage. And I mean, what a week it could be. We'll talk about later, obviously, what they can do at the weekend could be crown champions by the weekend, if they win or if Arsenal lose, into the final of the Champions League now and into the final of FA Cup against Manchester United. It's starting to look on, isn't it? Starting to look a lot more on.
I just wonder, Rob, you know, remember the first few campaigns of Pep with Man City?
Yeah.
They got knocked out quarterfinals, semifinals.
Yeah.
I remember him saying, like, we haven't got the experience of some of these teams, you know. And I guess over the years now, that's why I said right at the beginning, this is the culmination of kind of learn a little bit, take a few knocks, come back stronger, learn, take a few knocks, you know.
It took Alex a while, didn't it? I know they're talking about the trouble and everything. It took him a little while to get it sorted out.
Yeah, so they've had great teams before, but I don't know. It feels like, I didn't see the bit at the end there, Rob, because I switched over.
The side, and then he came back out and he got them all into the centre circle, all the staff, all the players, backroom people, all, you know, it was good. It was interesting. It was definitely a connection for him and the fans and the group of players.
Yeah, I forgive me, mate. I switched over to a certain championship playoff second leg, which we'll address a little later on. So as soon as this game finished, I chucked over to watch Middlesbrough.
I can see your black armband from here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so the other game, Tuesday, yesterday, Inter Milan 1, AC Milan 0, Lautaro Martinez with the left-footed strike that had power on it and nipped in the near post there. I thought, Robert, you know, kind of not too dissimilar to the first game. Scrappy. I mean, it was, obviously, it's a derby match. It kind of looked like one. Not a lot of quality. I thought the ball transitioned between two sides quite a lot, lacked a little bit of quality. Inter in their 3-5-2 system. And quite simply, I think everybody would kind of agree that Inter Milan are just a better team.
Better team, in all areas. Bigger threats.
Yeah, the midfield. I kind of like their midfield, Rob. Again, I don't know how this midfield is going to fare against the City midfield. But Mkhitaryan, of course, we know all about. We've seen him play many times before. Nicola Barella is a midfield player that I like. Tons of energy. Brozovic came into the game in the second half. And you've got those, you know, experience in attacking areas. And Martinez, Edin Dzeko and Romelu Lukaku came on later on, Rob. So, this, you know, they're clearly a better side. Rafael Leao did start for AC Milan, got starved of the ball, didn't get a ton of the ball.
Had one run on the outside where he missed the post, but couldn't really affect the game that much, I didn't think.
So, you know, Olivier Giroud, again, there's players out there that we all know, everybody knows. Giroud didn't get a ton of service. I just thought Milan lacked a little bit of quality throughout, you know, really to see or give them a real challenge to Inter Milan. Not a ton of goals, obviously, in it, 2-0. From the first leg and then 1-0 here. But Inter absolutely looked like the best team of these two, didn't they?
Yeah, certainly. And you look at... I went through the team, Robin, and I said, goalkeeper, Onana. Like him, by the way.
There's rumours. I can't think who it was now, but there's... I did hear... is it Chelsea again?
Is it?
I hear a rumour about
maybe,
that.
Yeah, with Mendy going and whether they're not sure with Kepa, whether, you know, Poch might come in. But interesting, I thought two wing-backs, Dumfries and DeMarco, do a good job for them. Very good. Their roles, can sit in at times, which they might have to do against...
Dumfries is a toughie.
Yeah, he's toughie. He did a good job against the layout. DeMarco's got a decent left foot. Martinez, as you say, is probably the one real quality at the top end of the pitch. And I kind of had my Romelu Lukaku, Rob, who would come back and whether he'll start in the final against City, possibly not, but from the bench, he's been in good form in the league recently.
Recently.
A few goals, helped the assist. And one of the interesting things I picked up after the game, Rob, that this talk that Chelsea and Pochettino is open to a conversation about Lukaku possibly coming back into the fold.
I'm not really excited about that, Rob. I think, you know, and it's not easy to get to sell a player. I just think that ship sailed.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether,
new manager,
honestly,
new regime, different outlook.
Yeah, there's obviously a chance of that. There is obviously a chance of that. And Lukaku, you know, I just tell you what I think about Romelu Lukaku, Rob, and, you know, this is maybe sounds a little bit harsh. I don't feel he's mentally tough. I don't think he's a mentally tough player. Physically, incredibly tough. I think there's moments, Rob, where he's moody.
I think that's a little
harsh. Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, I think he has moody periods. He can fall out with people. He's a bit sulky, you know, when you want him to step up in certain games. I think he's been found wanting a little bit. He's had opportunities at Man United to show us how good he is. And so, like, you know, there's been times where allegedly he's come back from pre-season a little heavy. He's had to work it all off to get back in his best shape. It's just my opinion. If I'm the owner or the manager of Chelsea Football Club and I want to go in a fresh new direction, I don't want anybody up front that may be a little bit moody or inconsistent or difficult to. I mean, Poch is probably one of the best man managers that we've seen in the Premier League.
We've seen him. We've seen him. You know, put Dyer and Dele and players like that. You know, taking to another level.
I hope I'm proof.
I hear you, but I also feel that that's a little bit of a. I feel that's a bit of a mark on Lukaku. That we've seen him fit, we've seen him focused, seen him in entity team that's won things, and he's been brilliant. We've seen moments, and I don't disagree that there's times maybe he's not been on his form, or he can look a little bit against things and not always be in the right frame of mind. But I think you could point that to many strikers, many players across the league. But I think with a different manager, with a different style of play, with a different outlook, I just feel like top-class strikers nowadays are worth their weight in gold. And you've got to pay 70-plus million for anybody who's any standing, and you're getting close to 100 and 100-plus. Yeah. So if you've got one, and you can work with one, and you can maybe get one. Now, I'm not saying he's the answer, but I might if I'm Poch, I might say, I'll give this 12 months and see. And if he's not right, even if it's by Christmas, if some of the things you talk about are coming out, you know what? Christmas will move him on. But right now, in world football, and I can get Romelu Lukaku fit, fired and focused, he did a really interesting interview with Thierry Henry, who's obviously Thierry's a bit of a mentor for him. I think he had some tough moments in the Belgium national team, and I know there's a bit of social media abuse, and he got very down on himself, and Thierry had to pick him up, and he's a guy who gets down on himself very, very easily, and he works on his game, and he wants to improve, and I thought it was a really interesting sort of insight from a top player who, top players do get, you know, at times have self-confidence doubts and not sure about themselves, and he might be that person as well. As big as physical as he looks, he might not be that mentally strong and needs the right kind of people. So again, I just have a slightly different view. I just feel that's something that people like to throw on the cork. Well, he's a bit moody, a bit mentally, as you mentioned.
But Rob, when's he at the Inter Milan season? Was that two years ago? He had a great season.
He came back to Chelsea, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that feels like. And then he went. Obviously, he had a disappointing time back in England. He goes back to Inter, and the fans that they have, the club hasn't seen the Inter that they knew from before. And recently, only recently, he started scoring.
You so it's Erling like, Haaland in Chelsea, he wouldn't score goals away that late. So, I hear what you're saying. I'm just putting the other side of the argument, and I just think it's okay. I think it's an interesting one. I don't think I'm Pochettino. I totally discard him straight away. I might want to have a think about that have a chat with him, what he says. Is he up for it? Does he feel he wants to come back to English football? He may not want to, Rob, or whether, you know, he feels like he wants to stay in Italy and prove himself there. He's fluent Italian, apparently speaks six or seven languages, seems pretty happy there. So, you know, something that got raised after the game.
Yeah, just final point on this, just financially. Now, I think we understand that Chelsea could run into financial fair play issues. Now, he either saves them a ton of money, or if they could sell him and they could get
possibly
70, 80 million pounds for him, then that could help them in their, you know, either bringing somebody else or try and balance the books a little bit. So I think financially it could be on both sides here, where they can save money.
It could be to their advantage to use him in the financial fair play. So see how that one goes. But certainly to the Champions League final, no doubt be underdogs. But I heard Inzaghi saying, listen, we'll happily go as underdogs. That doesn't mean that they can't go and win that game, mate. They're well set up defensively. I think it's four of the last five times they've played AC now. It's been clean sheets.
Yeah.
Back three with those wing backs. You know, it's well set up. It's well organised. Listen, they're not going to compete possession wise with City, but, you know, it's a Champions League final, mate. And we've seen things happen in that game.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. It will be fascinating. And I think when I watch the game, I'm like, at least they've got a few people that can do a little bit. They can, you know, whether it's whether they're going to play two up front, which would be very brave, given, you know, City's dominance, and that's two players really that aren't going to be defending with the team so much unless they're super, super deep. So that's a tactical thing already. I mean, Edin Dzeko, of course, former Manchester City player, Rob, will be fired up for it.
Yeah,
and there's various players, Damian, there's Mkhitaryan that played Manchester United. So there's a little bit of... there's Premier League links, and they know Man City very well. But a puncher's chance, absolutely going to be fascinating. But Man City will be strong favourites, Rob, to finally get the trophy that they've been looking for forever, I guess. Pep's been there, so sets up nicely. And we'll react after that final, won't we?
I think we'll jump on the day after the 11th of June. We'll have a good recap of the game and all that's gone on, and whether Manchester City have got the treble. To get the treble, mate, they get the chance to get their first trophy this weekend. Either if Arsenal were to lose against Forest, or City beat Chelsea in the game Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on USA and Telemundo. Could you see a little bit of rotation in one or two players after tonight? I thought Kevin De Bruyne looked a bit leggy.
He did.
Emotionally and physically, it maybe took a lot. Could be a time to throw, you know, Foding Alvarez start.
Mahrez
start, yeah. Calvin Phillips even maybe getting a start.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Rob. And I think they'll do it. I think they'll do it on Sunday. They win the game. It's all over. Mm. Another Premier League title for Man City. Of course, Chelsea have got some quality there that can upset. But don't you think the feel-good factor, the atmosphere from tonight is going to carry over? I mean, they're in two cup finals, major cup finals now. And they, you know, this is another cup final for them.
I mean, in some respects, Rob, they get this one done. They can afford to have a look at the last couple of games, can't they, before the end of the season, knowing that they've got two big cup finals. I know he talks about rhythm at times, Pep, but you can get a little bit of rest in somebody for a week or so before you play a cup final, and then before you play a Champions League final. That's got to be kind of the way to go.
Yeah, I'd be interested, wouldn't it, if they do win it, because we know that he likes to cracks the whip.
He wants the same rhythm. Goals, he wants the records.
He
wants Haaland to keep pushing these records. He doesn't take him off, you know, to late in games as we saw against Everton the weekend. So he'll keep pushing it. I think it's almost his style to not let up, to not allow tiredness and mental fatigue kick in. But it'll be interesting to see. But
can you see Chelsea doing anything, Rob? Can you see Chelsea doing anything?
Every time we see Chelsea in an half decent game, you kind of think, "Oh, there's a big performance in Chelsea probably with these players." I just can't see it against a City team that'll dominate the ball, that'll pull them in all over the place. And the other problem they have is they've got no threat at the top of the pitch, really, have they? Sterling against his former team got a brace last weekend from the left hand side. But he'll be up against Kyle Walker of Walker Plays, and I'm sure Kyle Walker will be getting himself ready for that one, to show his speed and whatever. So I just can't see them dealing with the possession, to be honest, that City have. So whether Arsenal let themselves down and don't do it against Forest, but certainly can see City doing it against Chelsea and getting their fifth title in six seasons.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, mate, let's move on to a little bit more of Premier League news that broke this morning. woke up to see that Ivan Toney's been suspended for 8 months over these betting breaches. Suspended from all football for 8 months. It's through to January the 16th, 2024 now. So it's a big lump of thing that he's not going to be able to be involved in football. Well, that's like having a really bad injury, isn't it? Being out for 6 months and not being able to do it. So apparently he was charged for 232 breaches with FA betting rules. I think there was 262 charges in total. 30 were dropped. But for the 232 breaches, he's got an eight-month ban. Now, I know some people have asked questions and friends were saying, like, Kieran Trippier, do you remember he got banned? He got a 10-week ban at the time. But his was something like 10 charges total and then he was reduced to 7. So I think there's something like 7 charges for Trippier. He got 10 weeks. They've said like the 232 breaches of Ivan Toney for 8 months. Now, I think there's still a position where after it's an independent regulatory body that does this, he does have a chance to appeal. I think they have to wait and see what the written reasons are. And then if they feel it's right, they can appeal and see if they can get that reduced. I've got to be honest, having worked for the FA back in the day, it's very rarely that you can... That's too much reduced from something like that. 232 breaches. And I think what we don't know, what the people aren't sure of, is if whether some of those games were games he was playing in or whether they were just other games that, you know, he was doing. So that's the bit that's unknown. But 8 months out is a massive blow for Toney. You know, 20 Premier League goals this season, banging form. And one or two people talking about one or two bigger clubs maybe looking at him.
Well, yeah, and they probably won't now. This is probably what they're waiting for, Rob, because if it was going to be a long ban, which this is a long ban, there's not really any point. I don't know, unless you're going to get a cut price deal or something, which is probably unlikely of buying him this summer, given that he can't play until mid-January. I think that we can start training, I think, in September to get him ready for that. I mean, it's important to say that the 8 months, of course, two months of that is in the summer. So, so it's basically can't play right now. This ban comes in immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
So he's got, you know, what, a week? And then he's got, it's kind of like 6 months really in terms of games. I mean, it's a harsh ban, Rob, but he broke the rules multiple times. And if there's one thing that you don't want to even start thinking about is players betting on football. You know, so this is something now, this is a proper... what's the word? You know, it's a deterrent. It's a proper deterrent. Yeah, anybody else thinking about putting bets on at the first? I mean, we all did it when we were.
Back in the day,
there weren't any rules when we did it. I remember we spoke about it, Rob. There was times when, I'll be honest, at Middlesbrough, the girls used to come in with the coupons.
Yeah,
in the dressing room.
Around, you'd have the thing, like, wouldn't you? Your homes and aways, and
you could do anything. And in our game, in our game, we all bet on Gianluca Festa, a big old centre back. Scoring the first goal or a goal, we lumped on it. He scores. He scores in the game. We jump on him like crazy because we've all made a few quid. It wasn't restricted back then.
No, it wasn't back then.
But it should have been and it is now. It's harsh. The only thing, Rob, just in terms of Brentford, like I'm cognizant of is that I remember I said on the show on Monday with Stephen Warnock that. You know, the balance between winning lots of games and losing lots of games is so tiny. Think about Sheffield United, Rob. The season when they were good enough to over and they won a lot. Then the levels went down a little bit and they lose a lot. It's like Leicester City. So that balance is... Now, I'm not saying Brentford could slip that side of it. They've got other good forward players, Wissa and Mbeumo and other players. But it might... It's a difficult start, Rob. The first half of the season, or just a little bit more, without their main guy.
Yeah, I hear you. Might have to go and get somebody in, Rob, who becomes competition and understudy. You know, if there's a young.
Well, that Kevin Schaarder. The Kevin Schaarder's on loan.
Kevin Schaarder,
with
an option to buy. They've got Wiese, they've got Mbeumo. Some would suggest. The other thing I think in their favour, they've got Thomas Frank, mate, who I believe in, who I think is the right sort and won't allow that to happen. Yeah. But listen, you've got the first half of the season before we get to the transfer deadline in January with no Ivan Toney. Yeah. And that's a blow because
they know now, don't they?
Years to that team, whether they're playing direct football, whether they're playing through the lines, you know, and set pieces. He's such a big part of what they do. So, you know, you take 20 Premier League goals out of any team and it's going to be a problem. And that's what they're going to have to do for half the season. But we'll have to wait and see whether the appeal, whether it gets reduced in any way or not. But it was certainly I think, caught everyone's attention. 8 months ban for Antony for the betting breaches.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Right, my friend, I'm afraid we're going to have to do this to move to the Championship playoffs. So Luton Town will play Coventry City in the Championship playoff on May the 27th, which will be at Wembley. We hopefully will be in the UK at that time. And I was thinking if we had Borough there,
I was going to go
to Wembley.
Yeah, it would have been good to go.
Luton and Coventry might not be able to make that one. But Luton won 3-2 in aggregate over Sunderland, a Luton team that supposedly a little bit more know-how, a little bit more physicality. Saw the game at Kenilworth Road and were just a little bit too powerful for a young Sunderland team. Have done brilliant under Tony Mowbray.
Yeah.
You know, should be proud of the season. But Luton had a bit too much know-how. So they made it through on Tuesday. And then tonight was Coventry versus Middlesbrough, and Coventry managed to get the goal in the second half. Gustavo Hammer, I think it is, for Coventry in the second half, got the one goal. Borough probably had better football, more possession, but couldn't really turn that into goals and goal chances. Been a brilliant season for Michael Carrick, but it'll feel no better that they're not in the final and not giving them a chance of getting back into the Premier League, mate.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's difficult today, wasn't it? You know, all the Borough fans are like, because I tweeted a couple of tweets about the Real Madrid game, of course. Not all of them know that we do this podcast. Why are you not watching a Borough game? So we're kind of like, add it on in a separate screen. It's hard to watch and study both of them. All I know is that they gave everything, Rob. They give everything, and the fans were brilliant in the stadium. I mean, it's a shocker. It's such a disappointment. It's such a shame of a result when you go into the game just needing to win the match. You know it's going to be a full house. You know everybody's excited. This team has come such a long way under Michael Carrick. Yeah. And the feeling is now that, it's a huge blow, but they can go on and do great things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love that club so much. It's such a shame because, of course, we work on the Premier League week in, week out.
Yeah.
I love it when Middlesbrough are there because I know so much about it. You know, and I love watching them and how they compete and how they find a way to try and stay in the division, which, of course, is incredibly difficult. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. I know I've got so many friends up there. You know the connections there, Rob. Yeah. I haven't got to go over it, I know how that town will be hurting because the whole town in the surrounding area are all in on the Borough. There's there's very few other shirts of any other teams. They're all in. And it'll be a hammer blow, absolute hammer blow. But my sense from my friends and stuff is that they've come a long way and they didn't, they left it all out there a little bit today. What I would say is, Rob, that, you know, we know Michael Carrick a little bit. I do want to say Tony Mowbray, who's a teammate of mine from a long time ago.
Yeah.
What a great job he's done at Sunderland. Wow. What a brilliant guy he is. And there was a report today, Rob, that came out that Tony Mowbray is fighting for his job, and all of a sudden social media goes crazy. What are they thinking? Given the job that he's done, Mogger, as he's affectionately known, is just an absolute diamond of a person. So I feel for him as well. And on the other side of it, another player, I seem to know, played with a lot of players that end up being managers. Mark Robbins.
I just wrote it down. Mark Robbins, Michael Carrick, Tony Mowbray, and Rob Edwards, the four guys in. Rob Edwards got chucked out of Watford pretty early, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember much about Rob Edwards.
Yeah, he was lower Dean. I think it was Forest Green or somewhere and did well and then got the Watford job and then chucked out in a short time. Took the Luton job after Nathan Jones. Done a good job, got really good reputation. Mark Robbins, I'll let you talk about it. I mean, he's a man, mate, who's incredible managing career. Incredible money.
Well, I played with him. He's a pal of mine, Mark Robbins. We played together my last season. That season was Dean Smith and Mark Robbins in the same dressing room.
Sheffield Wednesday.
My last year, Mark Robbins was there, and he was a little thinker of a guy, and he was a quiet little guy, but super experienced and know-how as a striker. Well, knew how to make runs. He helped the young players. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. So again, I'll be excited if they end up going through. I'll be excited to see him. But talk about Blast from the past here. Cool. Luton Town. One of Luton Town or Coventry City.
Road, mate, will be special if it comes in the Premier League. It'll be a special little place.
It's a tiny little stadium. It's
around the houses. And all. I mean, it'll be one of those. We'll do a show on that for sure if they come up.
They got a little. When I played there, Robert, the little executive boxes are real close on one side.
Around the side.
Can you get your head around Coventry City? Where have these two clubs come from? To be on the brink.
We're a regular Premier League team, and we were playing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Beyond Dublin and Huckabee and all those. Yeah. And
some was that Strachan's team? Was it Strachan's team or something?
Team there, yeah. Noel Whelan and all those guys.
God, to one of these to make it is incredible. Yeah. Like, wow, I have no idea how they even think about trying to produce a team to stay in the division. I hear that Luton Town, Rob, you saw it, didn't you? I hear they're a bit long ball. They smash it up to the front.
They've got a bit of Wimbledon gene in there. Like, get it forward and get it
to the
in
two
the
big strikers. They get it forward. Yeah. Into the... That's all right. We'll have a little bit of that. We'll have a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of that and look at that. But, yeah, look forward to that one on May the 27th, where Championship playoff, before we have Championship Sunday, when it looks like there still could be plenty to play on both ends of the table, certainly European places and relegation places. So with that, mate, we'll wrap up this midweek podcast. I think it's just time to pay tribute to Pep Guardiola, Man City, putting on a masterclass against Real Madrid. And now look forward to facing Inter Milan in the Champions League final on June the 10th in Istanbul. We'll be back on Sunday, that's May the 21st, when we'll see if Man City can get the first of a terrific treble, a win against Chelsea, and City will be Premier League champions. And there's lots of other games, match week 37, at both ends of the table. But for now, I'm Ill, he's Musty, together with two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. The blue moon is rising. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.